Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Across the country, rural hospitals are in trouble.
You have rural hospitals in communities that are economically disadvantaged. People are unemployed. They don't have insurance. It makes it a challenge to stay open when the safety net has gaps and is fragmented and has various components of dysfunction.
According to a 2018 study from the U.S. Government Accountability Office, between 2013 and 2017, 64 rural hospitals closed in the United States. That's more than twice as many closures from the previous period. And most of those closures were in the South, forcing many people to travel even longer distances to get the help they need.
We're in rural central Alabama. It is a lovely community of people, a great place to raise kids or live, but there's been economic depression for decades in a lot of rural Alabama as, you know, different industries have moved out of communities. Sometimes people move out of town for opportunities. Just all of the things that feature rural America, we have them here.
That's Dr. John Waits, a family physician in Centerville, Alabama. For 15 years, Dr. Waits has been working with Cahaba Medical Care, a group of physicians working to provide health care to people in Alabama who may not be able to afford it.
Our mission is to make sure that anybody can afford to use us, or they're not turned away because of inability to pay their health care bills. We just don't want there to be a barrier to someone getting good preventive care or good care for their chronic diseases. I didn't go to medical school and do all this training to ignore that part of our community, our neighborhoods, to turn our backs on our neighbors.
The economic realities of many parts of rural America mean healthcare is increasingly hard to access for many residents.
We've had to be very, very creative with ways to partner with our local hospital and leverage our community health center, and our hospital has leveraged its portfolio to try to stay open and provide a wide range of services to our patients.
And the closure of any hospital can have devastating consequences on a community. To discuss the broad trend of rural hospitals closing and what it means for the people and communities they serve, we have John Gale, a senior researcher with the Maine Rural Health Research Center at the University of Southern Maine. John, thanks for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Also with us today is Sarah Jane Tribble, a reporter for Kaiser Health News, who's been reporting on how a rural community in Kansas is grappling with the closure of a local hospital. Sarah Jane, welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
So let's start with you, Sarah Jane. What have you found in Fort Scott, Kansas? What happened there last December?
So at the end of December, the hospital closed. It had been there for more than a century, 132 years, opened by the Sisters of Mercy nuns. And the community, it was a beloved institution. Its name was everywhere in the community. About 7,800 people live in Fort Scott today, about 14,000 people in the county of Bourbon County. It's about 90 miles south of Kansas City. When the hospital left, they were devastated.
Let's talk about someone that you interviewed. Her name is Pat Wheeler. She's 65 years old, and she's a resident. Let's take a listen to what she had to say.
Where's the humanity? You know, what are people like us supposed to do? All of us senior citizens. What are we supposed to do whenever you can't even afford to go to the grocery store to buy a gallon of milk, you know, or a loaf of bread? And the government, they don't care. They don't care at all. They do not care.
Sarah Jane, tell me about Pat Wheeler.
I ran into Pat outside of the local bookstore, Books and Grannies, and she was smoking a cigarette. She helps out there in the store, and she was taking a cigarette break. And when I told her I was working on this series of stories, she immediately began talking. And I think her story really encapsulates the real challenge of rural America today. You know, she is older. She's in her 60s. Her husband is in his 70s. The hospital closed at the end of December, and in January, he needed heart surgery. So she has drained her savings in her bank account, driving him across the border to Missouri, in Joplin, Missouri, to make sure he gets heart surgery and to stay in hotels to care for him and visit him at the hospital when she can't stay in the room with him. And it's really taken a toll on their family income, obviously. And she also highlights something else. There is a lot of poverty in rural America. One out of every four children in Fort Scott live in poverty, according to the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And, you know, the GAO report that was mentioned in the intro highlights how median household income in rural America is lower on average than in urban areas.
John, I want to bring you in here because what Sarah Jane is describing, I'm wondering how common it is across the United States.
It's very common. What we find in rural communities is that people tend to be, as Sarah has mentioned, older, sicker, poorer, less well insured, and with higher rates of chronic illness. And so providing services in that type of environment can be very difficult.
And we heard from Dr. Waits early in the segment, in the opening here, that part of what's happening is also the economic situation is changing in rural America. What other factors, John, are contributing to the situation here?
Well, I think it's a variety of problems. It's a complex issue, is that we have a reimbursement system that doesn't really fit well for a small volume and low volume rural hospitals, that we need an infrastructure in a rural community to provide the basics of emergency care, urgent care, primary care, long-term care services, and to some and inpatient care. And so it's hard under the current payment models, which are really oriented towards bigger facilities with that are able to spread their fixed costs around. And so we have that problem of a reimbursement system that doesn't recognize the realities of delivering care in a rural community. The other part that we get is some unusual competition. It's not unusual to find different types of providers, critical access hospitals, federally qualified health centers, all in the same community but not really working as well together as they might. There are some great examples where they do work together but many where they don't. And so there are only so many resources in a rural community. And then we have to figure out how to get those hospitals and help those hospitals to deliver the care that communities and members of the community need. So do they get their primary care? Can young women deliver children in the area? Can we take care of their chronic diseases, diabetes, hypertension? If they have a substance use problem, can they get care for that? Can they get their depression treated? So it's really trying to develop a system of care. And in many ways, the traditional models of an inpatient service is changing. So I think we have to be more creative in using technology and other opportunities to us to deliver care.
And Sarah Jane, I want to ask you a little bit about sort of pivoting off of what John just said there, because the example that we heard earlier, Pat Wheeler's example, is one thing, but there are a series of other types of illnesses and reasons why people would seek medical care. How difficult is it to actually get to hospitals in places like Fort Scott? The actual distance. And then as a result of that, what ends up happening? Are people dying? Are they not getting the care that they need?
It's a complicated scenario. It's a simple question, but it's a complicated scenario depending on where the hospital closure happens. In Fort Scott, where I've taken three visits this year, we're following Kaiser Health News and NPR are following this community for the next year. This hospital is about 30 miles away from a critical access hospital. And it's also about 30 miles away from another hospital. Rita Baker, the president of the hospital, found and what she told me was that there was a tremendous amount of what they call out-migration. Patients were, when they sought care like MRIs or specialist care, they would bypass the local hospital and drive up to Kansas City, 90 miles away. It's a four-lane highway, and you can get there in an hour and a half easy, 75 miles an hour. So if they had optional care, they often out-migrated past the community. The challenge was the emergency care. Emergency care services were decreasing. The number of people using that ED were decreasing over the last few years. Rita went out of her way to make sure they had a contract with a hospital 30 miles away to keep that emergency services open for the next 2 years. And she also made sure that the outpatient clinics that the hospital ran were taken over by a federally qualified health care center that's in southeastern Kansas. Rita herself has been part of the community and has been running part of the hospital. She was a staff nurse starting back in 1981. So she has a big heart for the community, and she's taken a lot of criticism in the community since the hospital closed. But she tried to set up what she thought was an ideal model of care.
John, let's talk a little bit about the national picture here throughout rural America and the country. Are these situations similar? Is it difficult for people to actually get to the healthcare that they need? And then how much is the healthcare costing? Is it more expensive for people in rural communities?
It's a good question. It depends. In terms of getting to other sources of care, it really depends. If an individual or family has a car that's functional and they have the resources to drive and they can afford the time away from work, then they can get to those other services. What happens to those people that don't have a license, can no longer drive, don't have a functional car, or can't afford to take the time off or take a day off from work to drive an hour and a half each way to get care? They're the people that are left in the community, and that makes a declining population for the hospitals. So we are seeing a lot of this nationally. The numbers have been anywhere from 400 to 600 hospitals might be at risk for closure in the coming years. And so the question really becomes, how do we develop a system that the local hospital can't deliver everything that's needed? There are some things that are because of fixed costs or because of the technology requirements. You probably shouldn't and can't do viably or economically at a small hospital. But how do you work with the nearby hospitals to get the things that they need but make sure the other services stay in the community? And that becomes a challenge.
Sarah, we have 1 minute left. I just want to make sure we get Sarah in here. Sarah, is there anything that can be done to help rural communities at the policy level? We've got less than a minute left.
Yes, I think that there are some proposals in Congress, some shifts in Medicare payment funding. Congress had made some efforts when there's a big swath of hospital closures across the country, I think in the 1980s, 1990s. So they can make some more changes now to Medicare payments and other things.
Sarah Jane Tribble is a reporter for Kaiser Health News, and John Gale is a senior researcher with the Maine Rural Health Research Center at the University of Southern Maine. Sarah and John, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.